WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Beast is back. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Raw Post Show. Presented, as always, by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. I am Sir Rockin'. That is Lindsay Ward.
Well, it's 24 hours removed from Money in the Bank, and here we are.
He's back.
People wanted them to do something about it. They officially did something about it. I don't think anybody's really happy, but there you go, sports fans.
No. No, that's another company for sports fans.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because there's stats and analysis and analytics and
stuff.
No. So Brock Lesnar started off Monday Night Raw the best way ever. He came out and he's holding the Money in the Bank briefcase and he's treating it like a boombox. His head's bobbing and weaving and he's grooving with it. It's like, he looks so happy to be there, which was great. It makes the best gift too.
Right.
But, and they put it out immediately. Like, he's just bobbing and weaving about. It's like, yeah. So he's here with Heyman and he's the greatest assassin in WWE history. He now holds a contract over the head to both the WWE Universal Champion and the WWE Champion. Seth Rollins came and said he could strike at night time. Seth Rollins came out, said, basically begged him to fight him tonight. And then Heyman's like, we do this on our terms. And who says we're going to cash in on you? We could cash in on Kofi Kingston. Out came the WWE Champion, Mr. Wildcard Roll. He comes out, and he's trying to get Brock to cash in on him tonight. And Heyman's like, you guys are the champions, and you're auditioning to see to fight Brock. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Heyman said the Money Back winner didn't have to come to them. They came to him. Heyman said he had inside word that both Rollins and Kingston weren't finished for the evening, and, well, neither is Brock. Stay tuned. The Beast is yet to come. I like the opening segment.
It was a really good opening segment, and again, it's something that it just pissed everybody off in just the right way, that it's that friendly reminder of, oh, hey, by the way, Brock is your Money in the Bank winner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what that is that's them basically waving that giant middle finger at everybody, like, oh, hey, you wanted your favorites? Ha ha! You thought wrong! Kind of thing. I mean, that's legit what this feels like. Like, they were just like, well, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. Sorry. Good try, though.
So, they'll be in the main event against Lashley and Corbin, which we'll get to in a bit. Speaking of Lashley, Sami Zayn was scheduled to face Braun Strowman, and Zayn's like, you know, you guys are fighting at Super Showdown, so you can help me, please help me, help me, help me against Braun, please, please. And Lashley's like, nope. You can solve him up for me, though. And then the matchup is about to begin. Zayn just jumps over the guardrail and heads backstage, and Braun runs into Lashley. Sammy tried to sucker punch him. He did, and then got tossed around. They made their way back to ringside, and, well, Strowman destroyed him in 45 seconds. So there was that. Sammy's doing really well in his role.
He is. He's doing a great job. I really liked it. And, yeah, it's progressing nicely. They're working him back into the product. New characters working for him. I mean, overall, I can't complain about it. It was really good.
He's an annoying heel in the works.
And that's what they need. That's what they need. Bad guys.
Charlie Caruso was going to interview for an exclusive interview with Lars Sullivan. Like, there's... Okay, they said exclusive a bunch of times. That doesn't mean anything when it's on your TV show. It'd be an exclusive interview if we were interviewing Lars Sullivan right now.
Oh,
having,
God.
Having it... Or whoever, you know what I mean? We would have the exclusives, because we'd be the only ones doing it on something other than a show that he's already on.
You know, we could exclusively interview Bray Wyatt, but you won't get on that shit.
I was waiting for that. But anyway, point being, they did that twice tonight, exclusive interview. It's not exclusive. It's part of your TV show. Anyway, Sullivan was going to talk. Lucha House Party came out. They got destroyed. Again.
But they did put up a good fight this time.
They did. Cesaro took on Ricochet. Good match. Cesaro has new music. Doesn't know how to do the entrance to his music yet, so that's going to take some time. And he beat Ricochet. Ricochet was beat up, by the way, from the previous night.
He should be. Good Lord.
Yeah, I know. Him and Finn.
He and Finn both, man. They got beat up. But, okay. I just want to say this. I require an explanation as to what happened to the bar. You can't have that level of hatred and then bromance for years. I mean, my God, they were one step from being married to each other. Can we just have an explanation as to, one, where the hell is Sheamus, and two, what happened? Like, why did they break up? What was the need to break them up? You know, I need my kilt husbands. Damn it, and they have taken them away from me, and I'm very upset about this. Like, Sheamus is just gone. We don't even know where he is. He's showing up on Instagram in suits and stuff, which is totally welcome, but, you know, beyond that, he has not been on WWE TV since Mania.
Mm.
And nobody knows what's going on with him, so it's like, what happened? I need this explanation, but nobody's giving it to me.
In due time. Due time. So there was that. AJ Styles was interviewed for his exclusive interview by Charlie Caruso. He lost, and he knows he can beat Seth Rollins. Corbin came in and taunted AJ, and then basically Corbin knew that he pinned Rollins on Raw. He was bothered that he got the title shot instead of him. Corbin referred to it that as a slap in the face, and Styles like, no, this is a real slap in the face. Boom, right to the face. So there you go. Fine stuff. And yeah, we know. Sheamus is out with an actual neck injury. We know.
Yeah, I mean, I know where he actually is. Like, I know that in terms of context. Like, there's something going on with him where it's either a concussion or it's a neck injury or it's something serious enough where they have completely pulled him off TV. And it could be that they're just giving him a rest, right? That he's just on sabbatical right now. And Cesaro didn't need the rest, and so they're moving him on. But storyline speaking, canonically speaking, in terms of the bar and ending that, because of the way that all started, because of how good of a tag team they were together, and just because I generally really like them, I want a resolution to the loose end that's now been left after Sheamus just very unceremoniously disappears on Cesaro. Like, some kind of, you know, what happened to him, whether he got hurt, whether he and Cesaro just said, hey, you know, we're going to go our separate ways, because why not? You know, the superstar shakeup, which is the easiest thing they can do, is just, hey, Cesaro got sent to Raw, and there's, like, nothing Sheamus can do about it, because Sheamus is gone. So, you know, and is Sheamus going to show back up on Raw whenever he comes back? That's the big question. Like, what is going on with Sheamus? Because we're not getting anything from them about him. And he's not saying anything.
Right.
Although he's definitely not retired, because Drew McIntyre and Rusev have both come out and said he's not. Which is like, okay, alright. I don't know why he felt the need to say that, but okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So there you go. So Roman Reigns, taking advantage of the wild card rule, comes out, and he's about to talk, but Shane comes out. So he's the best in the world, and he won his match last night, and then hell, he's finished with The Miz. And he's turning attention to Roman Reigns because, well, He remembers what he did to Vince McMahon. Reigns said he hates spoiled rich kids. He said Shane is done with Miz and he's finished with Elias. Shane said Reigns isn't finished with Elias, but Reigns said that since he didn't see Elias, he and Shane could meet tonight in the ring. Shane said Reigns was making a challenge because he knows Shane was in a brutal cage match. Crowd won the match. Shane's like, nope, not gonna happen. He then brings out Drew McIntyre to stand by his side, and he announced that he will fight Roman Reigns at Super Showdown with hired muscle Drew McIntyre. So there you go.
Okay. I'm just gonna say this. Thank God. I mean, if they are not gonna allow Drew McIntyre to have a personality, then at least give him someone that has one to help him, because Lord Jesus on a pogo stick. I don't know what happened to him between NXT and the main roster, but somehow his personality got lost with his luggage. I don't know, but I'm fine with this. Shane and Drew will be a really good pairing, and also it's a nice callback to when Drew was with WWE before, and he was the chosen one, and he was with Vince and stuff, so it's a nice little callback, even if it's not entirely intentional.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're going to fight at Super Showdown. Yay.
Yay.
Jimmy and Jey Uso, the Usos, took on the Revival. So there you go. It was a good match. The Revival picked the win by holding some tights. Not bad. Not bad match. It was good. It was very enjoyable.
Except they think they picked up something on their hands.
Anyway. Alexa was talking to Nikki backstage and, like, good job for replacing me, but you didn't win. Bliss said it's okay because she had her own show, and then the Revival were celebrating over the top. But they would be on a Moment of Bliss coming up in a minute. So before Moment of Bliss, we had a little bit of a Firefly Funhouse.
So essentially what happened is I feel like they aired all the original Firefly Funhouse footage up to Money in the Bank, and I have a really sneaking suspicion Bray Wyatt was supposed to show up in some capacity at Money in the Bank, or he was supposed to show up and film more Firefly Funhouse, but unfortunately, and fortunately, because it's a very joyous occasion for him, from what I understand, it was a terrifying one, but it has a happy ending. His child was born early. And about 2 to 3 weeks early, and so he's celebrating the birth of his brand new son with JoJo, so congratulations to both of them. Hopefully she's feeling better, because apparently it was a very strenuous birth on her, so all is well there, thank God. But yeah, so he was not able to come to the show because of that, so they have no more new footage of Bray Wyatt. So what do? They create a Firefly House promo video / leading in or opening credits for the Fun House, and that's the best they got right now until they can get Bray back on the road. So that's sort of what went down there.
And they had kids with Let Me In on their heads as well. So
I hope to God that was one of the producer kids or something. Like, well, I'm just sitting there watching this, and they had written this on this kid's forehead, and I'm like, I hope he's related to an employee.
Okay, let's be real. Actually, really wasn't really. It was graphically imposed on the kid's head.
Still, I hope he's related to an employee.
So it's time for a Moment of Bliss. Nikki Cross was there with Alexa, but before it started, someone had to bring Alexa her coffee. Becky Lynch was the guest. Cross was standing there. Bliss looked. Bliss was watching, and she was staring and a little uncomfortable. Bliss asked Becky how it feels to be no longer Becky Two Belts before she can answer. The Iconics came cackling out to the ring. I started laughing. She's now Becky One Belt, according to them. They said it doesn't have the same ring as Becky Two Belts did. They boosted, they stole the belts they won. Lynch said she's defended title more one night than they have defended their title since WrestleMania. Then Lacey Evans came out, typical man, never knowing where to give proper credit. Lynch said she's the reason that Lynch is no longer Becky Two Belts. Lynch said the lady came around and got tapped out. Lynch said Evans couldn't get the job done when she only had half her attention. Lynch said she could slap around Evans and the Iconics. They were all mocked that couldn't happen. And Becky's like, needs a partner. And Nikki's like, I'll be your partner.
Nikki was like, hi.
I'll do it.
Hi. I love you, Mom. I'll be your partner.
Yeah. And then they're like, you're still one short. And Becky's like, Alexa will do it. And Bliss is like, no, I won't. But then she just said, you just stand there and look pretty. We'll do the rest. So it's Becky, Nikki, and Alexa taking on Lacey, Peyton, and Billy. Solid match with the babyface getting win. Go ahead.
The best part of this whole thing was as they're walking to the ring, Alexa's like, God damn it, fine. And she takes off her jacket, gets down, picks up her cup of coffee, and walks with her cup of coffee to ringside. My personal hero. It's like, God damn it, if I have to be here, the coffee comes with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's like every meeting ever. So, go Alexa.
So there you go. So, it was fun. Fun little match.
Mm-hmm. One other thing, I like how they're very subtly glamming Nikki up, where they're having her in makeup, but it's not as noticeable as the other girls, but she's still made, in quotations, made up.
Yeah. She's becoming more normal like the other girls. So there's that. Mick Foley came to the ring, or walked to the ring, and he had a belt on his shoulder. He said, it's time for, we need to get raw, start getting raw again. Let's make Monday Night Raw again.
Oh, God.
Foley says, it takes a lot to be a champion in WWE. He says, something you dream about and love and will sacrifice teeth and ear for, because that's how legend is born. He spoke about how you need to obsess over a title for 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, which is why he brings us the 24/7 title. Cricket.
So it's a hardcore title.
Yeah, but the crowd just didn't care.
Yeah, they just literally sat there on their hands when he unveils this thing, and he's like, yeah, see, isn't it cool? It's a 24/7 title. Isn't it cool? And everybody's just like...
The belt looked ugly. It looked terrible. It was green, and it was a clock-shaped thing. We came up with this belt over the weekend, and we needed a plate, so we got one quickly made.
Yeah, I don't want to talk smack about, like, anybody's design, but that was literally, it looks like they tried to mimic one of the old school belts, I'm not going to mention which one, and with the border and everything, and then they put 24/7 in it, but it's green! Out of all the choices, out of every color choice you make, you pick green, and it's not even a pretty green.
Remember they gave Braun a belt when he won the Greatest Royal Rumble?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same strap. It was a green strap.
So they just recycled the Greatest Royal Rumble title?
And they changed the plate, I think.
Is that all they did?
That's what I'm just thinking about it now. Yeah, I think that's what they did.
Because it's like, you could have done a really pretty, like, Kelly green if you wanted to do green, and I think that's what that's supposed to be, but it's just not, it's not even pretty. Like, it's just, and I don't want to talk smack about it, but...
It's terrible. It's terrible.
It was literally somebody on a Friday went, hey, we need to create a new title to pull in ratings, and by today they had it all made. Like, that's what this feels like. Like, whoever had to design this title was very clearly given, like, 20 minutes to do it, and that's it. And so they literally took the first thing this person could come up with, which is the circle with a 24/7 in it, and that's it. Like, it is called the 24/7 title, which, again... Whoever had to name it was given less time than the guy that had to design it. And it's just like, oh, why? Like, what? I mean, I understand the concept, right? At least I think I do. It's very similar if you watch back in the day for something called the hardcore title, which was it had a 24/7 rule, meaning you would be forced to defend the title anywhere, anytime, didn't matter. But you were forced to defend it. So if somebody walked up to you, like if Rock had the title, I could walk up to Rock with a referee and we could fight for the title and we could be in the middle of like Wendy's and do that kind of thing. And that's how it works. Like, and everybody under the sun way back in the day held that title to the point that one of Godfather's hoes actually held the title. So
Terry Reynolds held the title. Like everyone held the title.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things. Like, the most infamous is Crash Holly, who he would constantly chase that title, and that was really his title. But he did such a good job with it. But he was constantly chasing it and trying to hold on to it and that kind of thing, and they did a big story with him. So this is something very similar to that, where it's not hardcore, but at the same time, it's like anybody could walk up to you, at least from the way that I'm understanding it, during at least the third hour of Raw and challenge you for it. I don't know if they can challenge you for it outside.
Okay, that was weird. Like, was it just for tonight? Okay, so it's defended anywhere, anytime. You could be from Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, NXT UK, no matter whatever roster, even a legend. Anyone can be champion, okay? He said, starting tonight, the third hour Raw is about to get mean and nasty and a little bit dirty. So,
and they changed the lighting, too.
They changed the lighting and the graphics. The graphics went black and white visually. The ring, the stuff around the ring was black with the red Raw logo, and same for the Tron. So they turned the lights from red to black. So it had that old school feel to it. So But if it's 24/7, it can happen at SmackDown. It can happen on NXT. It can happen at NXT UK. It can happen on a pay-per-view, a live event, whatever.
No, you know what? No, I want it happening in, like, on Instagram and Twitter. This is the perfect...
It's a perfect social media title.
Yeah, it's the perfect social media title where you have your champion... Basically, you know, again, sitting in a Wendy's and somebody walks up with a referee and challenges for the title and they have the battle right there in the middle of a Wendy's. And that's how this kind of thing should operate, is you have somebody that's posting pictures looking over their shoulder and worried about keeping their title. Very similar to what Crash Holly did. And I mean, that's really what you should do, is it's like you could stage people chasing the champion pseudo through an airport, trying to get hold of the title, and that person is constantly trying to elude this group of people that want this title.
Right, and that's fine. But tonight, it's all about crowning its first champion, so we're going to have a championship scramble. Basically, if you remember the first game of the XFL, you have to go after whoever gets the ball first wins. So whoever grabs the championship first is the champion. So you have people like Mojo, and the Anderson and Gallows, No Way Jose, Cedric Alexander, EC3.
I wanted Ethan to win so bad.
Rockstar Spud, a.k.a. Drake Maverick. He came out. They were all going after this belt. They were chasing it. Everyone's trying to get into it.
There's one point that Gallows and Anderson each got a hand on it. And they were like, no, it's mine. No, it's mine.
Yeah, then Drake got tossed out onto the pile of wrestlers. And then Titus grabbed the belt. And he's the first ever champion. Until Robert Roode showed up and rolled him up, got the win. And now he's the 24/7 champion. So throughout the third hour, Robert is running around backstage. And he's hiding and trying to dodge everyone. So he eventually gets backstage and he's getting out to the parking lot and runs into R-Truth, and he's like, R-Truth's like, hide in here. He opens up his trunk. All the wrestlers follow. They can't find him, so they run off. R-Truth gets him out. He's like, come on, get in the car. And then the door opens and a referee's sitting in the car. R-Truth knocks him out, pins him, 1, 2, 3. He becomes the 24/7 champion and drives off into the sunset.
Yeah, so... R-Truth has been around long enough that he understands this rule, what it really is, how it works. So, you know, he waits to get the guy in the parking lot. He's got the ref right there. He wins the title and he gets in his car and he leaves. He's smart. Like, you don't hang around the building. You do not pass go. You do not collect $200. You just get the title and you leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no questions asked, nothing. You just get the hell out of there.
Right.
Because you at least have like a 10-15 minute head start on anybody that wants to try and follow you. So you bail immediately when you win that title. You don't celebrate. You don't wait around. You don't do anything. You just leave.
So there's that. Miz and Drew McIntyre battled. Drew McIntyre got the win. Shane was at ringside. Shane assisted McIntyre in the victory. Then Shane's like, I'm not done with you. He's going to go for coast to coast. Rowan made the save. So there you go.
I'm kind of okay with this little grouping. Miz and Roman really haven't done a lot together, especially recently, and having them on the same team could be beneficial. So I'm curious to see where this goes.
Mm-hmm. Then it's your main event. Kofi Kingston and Seth Rollins taking on Lashley and Corbin. No DQ. Final little matchup. The Rollins and Kofi got the win. Afterwards, Brock Lesnar showed back up, did his lap around the ring, and decided, well, I'm not going to do it tonight, and next week they're going to tell you who he'll cash in on. Next week, we'll find out.
Which I'm not sure I 100% like.
I understand that, but there's a showdown brewing.
Oh, I know there's a showdown brewing, and you got to set stuff up, and certain people have matches, and certain people don't have matches, and so you need to create matches for the certain people. But I hate when they announce it. Like, I feel like the whole point of Money in the Bank is to... you catch the champion off guard and you get the cheap win. Like, that's what it really is. This is a guaranteed contract, right? So some people can do the noble thing and they can challenge the champion properly and use the contract to challenge the champion properly. Most people are not that scrupulous. Most of the time, it's basically, I'm going to whack you in the head with this briefcase and then I'm going to take your title. Okay, thanks, bye.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that goes. And sometimes, most of the time, it works for people and sometimes it doesn't. It just kind of depends on the champion. So the fact that Brock's using it, and he's going to announce it, it's like,
So we'll see what happens. So that's Monday Night Raw. And to go out, I have to read you a tweet.
Oh, no.
Yowie wowie. Gold belt. Green belt. Who gives a shiz?
Who's that from?
Yowie wowie.
Bray tweeted that?
Uh-huh.
Uh-uh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-uh.
Uh-huh. This has been the Raw Post Show live on Wild Talk Radio Network. She's going to twitter.com/WWE Bray Wyatt as we speak. You can go to twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio at Lynn's Ward. But tomorrow night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, or 10:30 p.m. Eastern, you can check out The Rock Extra Reviews. Ms. and Mrs. Season 1, Episode 14, the season/spring finale.
A finale.
Of some sort.
We're very sad.
We are. The Rock will be live on Thursday. Yay! We're doing a show Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Woohoo!
Yay! We'll be doing News Notes NXT, and we will be talking all about Money in the Bank. We'll review it, let you know who won, who lost, and who won Pick'em. So it's The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
It's not going to be a bonanza, but who knows what we'll do.
It could be a bonanza. We could have it be a random bonanza.
Well, you know what it is, right?
It's Memorial Day, right?
No. The 23rd.
Oh, right, right. And it's somebody's birthday.
That's why
on
I said it,
Thursday.
That's why I said it's not going to be a bonanza, but we'll see.
It's going to be a bonanza. Everybody, we have to do something special for Rock. Because he's got a birthday.
I'm just the producer. Anyway.
Well, and I know you never do anything, but we should really do something special for you.
Yeah, we'll see. Saturday night, midnight, this is CB Radio. I know what we're doing for the Great and the Great that made. We did Fruit this past weekend. We're going controversial this Saturday, Lindsay.
Uh-oh.
Who is the greatest character in Game of Thrones history?
Who's the greatest character in Game of Thrones history? Did you just say that?
Uh-huh.
Drogon!
Drogon
all the way! Poor baby!
Saturday night, midnight-ish. We're going there. GreaterThanGreatTheMade.com, SuperLive.com. Sunday night, if there's stuff to talk about, they'll be live 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night, Memorial Day, for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, so Wild Talk Radio Network, Twitch.tv/WTRLive, and a credit code Rock Stuck in the Fortnite item shop.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD.
So we'll see you Thursday for the rec. Right back here for the Raw Pro Show, which is presented as always by youtube.com/MBG1211, which is MBG Films. That's Lindsay. I'm Rock. This has been the Raw Pro Show live across the airways on the Wild Talk Radio Network right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.